If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay, so I swore I would never do this, that it would be unsustainable. How could I possibly keep up with all of the big Bravo happenings that would require a bonus episode, an emergency episode? But here we are, off schedule, sharing my thoughts about the final part of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion. Part 3 aired on Tuesday. I actually just rewatched it as the supersized, uncensored version on Peacock. Highly recommend. Receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots, fucking everything. Hearing Heather say it without being bleeped out actually hits even harder. Highly recommend. Anyway, you know, this is the first bonus/emergency episode of Gabbing with Gib. I don't know how often I will do this, but again, this season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, particularly obviously the finale and this reunion, feels like it deserves this treatment. So here we are. I'm going to go through the reunion, pick out things that I find notable, share my thoughts on them. There have also been two other interviews that have been published since the reunion aired. Right after the reunion aired, Kate Arthur at Variety published a great deep dive with Heather Gay, which is very detailed, incredibly impressive that she got all this information out of Heather. That is on Variety. Go check that out. I will share my thoughts about it after I talk about the reunion. And then Louis Staples, who was on my episode discussing the finale of Gabbing with Gib, he did a great interview with Monica for The Cut. So go check that out as well. Again, I said I wouldn't be doing this type of thing, hopping on the mic whenever something huge or viral happened in the Bravo world. But since Friday's episode of Gabbing with Gib is already booked with a great guest to talk about The Traitors, the other thing I can't stop thinking about, and since I have so many thoughts about this reunion and Heather and Watch What Happens Live and those various interviews I just talked about, I had to get them off my brain. I had to get them out of my head and share them with you guys. So here we go. So a couple of moments that I loved or found notable from the very beginning of this part 3 of the reunion. Meredith bringing her hand churned butter to restaurants, asking them to serve it to her. You know, Lisa Barlow saying that she has glam on the go. I'll do it till I die. I'm going to die with glam and draped in diamonds. Like, I'm sorry, how could you not love this woman? I loved seeing them all impersonate one another. There's like a level of sense of humor and self-awareness about these women that I think housewives from other franchises could actually maybe learn from. And I also just love seeing Meredith laughing at Angie impersonating her. I was like, I mean, I tweeted this, but we've come so far. Meredith hates Angie K's guts with a passion. I don't really understand why. It's something I would like to explore next season, actually. But seeing her laugh at Angie impersonating her was refreshing. And I think shows you that, like, again, she has that sense of humor. She has that self-awareness that I think some other people lack. And, you know, it was interesting before Mary left the reunion stage, you know, Whitney was talking about how she's scared of how Mary will react. And that's why she doesn't always kind of confront her, all these things. But I found it interesting that Meredith revealed in that moment that she and Mary have had words before off camera. They've had issues, they've had tiffs, but they figure it out. And that was really interesting because we have not seen that ever on the show. They really have never had any sort of argument or confrontation. And that's something that I would love to see. I mean, you know, I think part of the overarching reaction to Monica learning that she's not coming back to the show is, what does the show look like in season 5? And I'm trying to pick up kernels of things that they can explore that we've seen either previously or on season 4. And those two things, Angie and Meredith, as well as Meredith and Mary, those are two really interesting things to me. You know, I don't buy that Mary wasn't body shaming Heather when she made that comment about her on Watch What Happens Live, but it was really interesting to see how quickly Heather accepted Mary's apology and compliment that she looks great at the reunion, and sort of like they cleared the air so quickly. I think that speaks to Heather's sort of people-pleasing nature that she has talked about a lot. I do think it speaks to sort of this like inherent, I don't know if it's a fear of Mary, but it's definitely a, they avoid trying to piss her off. And I think I saw some people ask why Mary wasn't allowed to stick around for the talk about Reality Von Teese and Monica and the Bermuda trip. But like, Mary wasn't on that trip. So to me, it makes sense that she exited stage left. She's a friend of, she wasn't on the cast trip. She clearly was like gonna kind of defend Monica regardless of what was said. We kind of saw that in some of those backstage moments. So I was fine with her exiting stage left. I hope she comes back next season. I think a friend of role is perfect for her. I've talked about this before, but I was kind of fine with her leaving before we got into the meat of this part. My biggest takeaway from the entire reunion, not just the third part, is that Monica just did not come in with the right energy. She came in combative. She came in overly hot. She came in, you know, yelling profanities. And as Lisa has said several times, she doesn't argue well. It's hard to argue with somebody just like spewing all these words at you and just kind of going as low as possible. Like, how do you respond to these things if it's not, they're not all sort of on the same level? And it's, even if you believe that she's not kind of lying about the big picture of Reality Von Teese and her involvement and all these different things, there are a lot of little discrepancies and white lies and lies that she has said about this. And to me, that makes me question the bigger ones, the bigger claims, the bigger defenses that she has about all of this. Like, even a little discrepancy, like, you know, Andy was like, oh, you've been doing this for 3 years. And Monica was like, it wasn't 3 years. I started it in 2021. So he was like, okay, so it was 2 years. And she was like, yeah. But then in her interview with Louis Staples for The Cut, she said it was only for 1 year. And it's like, you know, those are not inconsequential details. Those are important details to be lying about. And again, if you can't keep your story straight, then how are we supposed to believe the rest of the story? You know, I do believe, Monica, that, you know, the account was initially all just to expose Jen. It wasn't made for talking shit about the other ladies. And you know, she says she honestly feels like she didn't come for any of them. And in some respects, I do believe that. Even if Monica's aim was to take down Jen and expose her for the villain and the evil person that she is, she was posting these hateful things that Jen was saying about the other women, amplifying them, spreading them, tagging in them, reminding them that she has said these things. And that gets grating after a while. That has to get tiring. And ultimately, they were sort of collateral damage in Monica's quest to take Jen down. And I understand why they're upset about that. So at the beginning of the reunion, when they start to get into the Reality Von Teese of it all, you know, they're all on their phones and Andy's not really aware of how it works. And we go like literally on the Instagram page live in the taping. I didn't like love how it was handled at first. Like, if they were going to do it live, kind of go to the profile, explore some of these posts, at least do it on like a big screen. We just see them sort of like tapping around on their phones. We don't know what their screens look like, you know? So if they were going to do that, show us what was happening on those phones. But also, like, it felt like maybe they should have picked out some of these posts ahead of time to show Andy, give him specific examples of moments when Monica spread hurtful things about the women and vice versa and all these different things. Like, it just felt like that initial part of like, okay, let's attack this Reality Von Teese topic. It started kind of on shaky ground for me. But Heather did show us that, you know, like, she was tagged hundreds of times. And Monica said that, like, if there were bad things about them that she had said, they would be in their highlight. It's these sort of things that, like, okay, yeah, we're talking around it and we're meant to believe both sides, but we didn't see that many specific examples, I would say. And Heather made a great point when it was like, Monica has had months to get her story straight, which she still didn't really do, but she also had months to clean up this page, delete anything that wouldn't kind of go along with her claims that she only talk shit about Jen and was only trying to take down Jen. Anything that was about the other ladies that either was a story that would have disappeared after 24 hours, unless it was added to a highlight, which she could easily delete from her highlights. Anything they hadn't screenshotted, which they probably hadn't screenshotted a lot of the stuff because they didn't think that the person behind the account would end up on the show. It would be a storyline and all these things. Like, so they didn't really have that much proof, but neither did she. So it was kind of a wash, honestly. But it was interesting to hear that it was started on March 2nd, 2021, which was 3 weeks before Jen Shaw got arrested, which is, again, the timing, it almost then chills down your spine because, you know, we know that Monica was an informant, that she was in contact with the FBI. And so for her to start this account and then for Jen to get arrested so quickly, it's very interesting. You know, the whole burn book thing, it was hyped up. It was all over the trailers. It definitely is interesting timing with the Mean Girls musical movie coming out, especially because some of the people on Bravo have done paid promotions for the movie. Some people have accused them of like it being secretly like a paid tie-in via Paramount, but there's no way. There's absolutely no way. It's just interesting timing. But the whole thing, the whole stunt did not land. You know, Monica thought that she was giving the same effect of like Monique's binder from Potomac, but it was really just kind of giving nothing. It fell flat. All it was a couple pages sort of imitating the actual burn book from Mean Girls, like drawing a Sharpie over pictures of everybody. And then the rest of it was just printouts of the Reality Von T's grid, which again, we can just see on the actual profile of the account. So it wasn't giving what people, I think, thought it would give, what Monica thought it would give, and the other women just all kind of rolled their eyes, as did Andy. But again, like in trying to take down Jen, she hurt the rest of the cast and perpetuated horrible things about them. That can't be denied. Like that is a big reason why they're mad at her. I mean, there's a big reason why they all even knew the account by name. There are countless fan accounts for Bravo. There are a lot of troll accounts. The fact that they all knew the name Reality Von T's shows you that, yes, this account was saying things that they were taking note of, things that were hurting them, it was engaging with them. And yeah, again, like they knew it by name. So like there had to have been things it was saying. I believe that they all responded and engaged with the account, but that's not like a gotcha moment or a surprise. All housewives, all people on Bravo that are active on social media, which is very much a majority of them, they all interact with fan accounts. They all interact with people and bloggers and things that are part of this ecosystem that is attached to the network, is attached to these shows, and also helps these shows thrive. They help spread the news. They help spread tea. They help spread leaks. There are a lot of Bravo celebrities, a lot of housewives who have relationships with fan accounts. I have heard firsthand stories about this. It's not a rare thing, but I also don't think that like the fact that they all were engaging and maybe spilling tea to Reality Von T's, that doesn't mean that the betrayal that somebody who was running the account who secretly made it on the show, that doesn't make that a moot point. That does not kind of take away from the effect of that reveal, in my opinion. But I do agree with Andy that her plotting to get on the show is not a crime. It's not unique. You know, the way that she did it was shady and takes away some of her credibility and, you know, is definitely a new way to scheme to get on the show. But a lot of women think that they would be great at Housewives. A lot of women email producers. A lot of women try to get on the show if their friends are housewives. Like, that's not a unique thing. It was interesting to hear her. You know, when Andy asked her, why didn't you come clean at the beginning? Why didn't you just like lead with this? Because that would have made the effect so much smaller. If she had just kind of come out with it at the very beginning, then it would have kind of been a blank slate for them. But she said she didn't come clean because they all agreed to take it to the grave. But again, that to me is her misreading either the other people that were involved with the account or the effect that this big reveal will ultimately have. A lot of what Monica has said seems to indicate that like she's shocked at how this has been taken, how the women have reacted to the reveal that she was involved with the Reality Von T's. But like as adept she's proven to be, as savvy as she's proven to be, not understanding that to me is just kind of like, it's a little bit playing dumb. It's a little bit selectively trying to understand what's going on here. So then we get to Lisa bringing up this, you know, comment that Monica had made at an early cast event during this season about her flying with Snoop Dogg or something. And Lisa, you can see her in the moment being like, I never told you that. But then she kind of let it go. But she's realizing that the way that Monica probably found out about this little story, which Lisa had never told Monica, was via listening in on security cameras that Monica herself had installed in Jen's home that she was listening in on. She was listening to Jen's conversations about the other ladies, and she kept some of these details in her back pocket until years later when she was on the show, and then she was using it to make Lisa look bad. That is a really, really wild concept. She was listening in on security cameras at Jen Shaw's house. Or at least that's the claim. Monica denied that. She said that Jen just told her the story. But even the fact that, like, that was a possibility and Monica didn't flat out deny ever listening in general is really, if you were one of the other women, really put yourselves in their shoes. It would be hard not to feel violated about the fact that this person was on their cast with them. I'm sorry. It's not just her running a troll account. It is an invasion of privacy. And it's not, she wasn't doing it to them, but the fact that she was capable of doing this to somebody who was one of their co-stars at one point, the fact that she, there was no line, it seemed like she wasn't willing to cross. That would scare me too, if I was one of them. You know, I didn't like how they were sort of attacking her mothering in terms of like, if she was out stalking Jen and driving by her house, like she should be watching after her kids. I never like when the women say things like that, make comments like that. That feels like a little bit of an overreach. And there are criticisms you can make about anybody's parenting, but ultimately people parent in the way they want to parent. So that felt to me like a little bit of an overstep. But anyway, Monica claims that she didn't stalk Jen, but there's literally footage of her driving by Jen's house and saying to the person filming, shh, I don't need to get a restraining order for stalking. Like, again, this is like one of those discrepancies that maybe it might not seem like a huge deal to you and that she's saying one thing at one point and another at the other. But like, to me, that's a really big deal because she's, again, it just shows that she'll say whatever is convenient in the moment to make herself look good or to get some of the weight off of her. And I don't know, it just, those kind of little things where she kind of contradicts herself are tough for me to get over. You know, everyone had a laugh when she applied to the FBI, you know, had asked her for any sort of tips or information or stuff that they could give her. And she claims that they wanted her to catch her drinking and driving. Like, everyone kind of laughed about that. And it's like, I don't know what she thought, like driving by her house, how that would expose Jen for drinking and driving. That was a weird kind of detail and claim that she was making. But, you know, Monica kept on bringing up Jen. She kept on bringing up Jen and comparing how the women are reacting to her being behind Reality Von Teese to the way that the women reacted to Jen and the charges against her that she ultimately has gone to prison for of defrauding the elderly and committing wire fraud and all these things. And, you know, I just don't think that comparison, I understand why people make it, but it's a totally different situation. And I don't think that any of the women perfectly handled their reaction to Jen and what she did and how that played out on the show. But also, it's easier said than done, I think, when you're on the show with somebody, you're supposed to be filming with this person who's been part of your group for years. Like, it's just a different situation, in my opinion. And comparing those two, I don't know, they weren't directly involved in what Jen was doing, but this has been done to them. Again, you can make a claim that, like, they're only mad because it's being done to them. But, like, wouldn't anybody react like that? I don't know. And again, it's not necessarily about exactly what she did or said about them. It's about all the work she did to get in with Jen, to work for Jen, to take Jen down, all the lines that she was willing to cross and the secret game she was willing to play that speaks to her capabilities, what she's willing to do. And that scares the women. I kind of like the quote from Heather where she said she thinks she's being iconic. It's not iconic to be a bully. And again, that quote can very easily be applied to Jen Shaw. Very easily. Jen Shaw was a bully. She thought she was being iconic. She wasn't. And Heather never said it about her. But as we'll get to later, Heather has spoken very openly about the work that she has done on herself to excavate Jen from herself, to work on herself, to work on her confidence in confronting people like this and all that. But back then, she didn't have that capability. She did not have the confidence. She did not have the self-belief. She didn't have the willpower to go up against Jen in that way. You know, I thought that the point that Heather made about why this is such a big deal, about why they feel so violated as it pertains to a troll account making on the show was incredibly compelling. And I'm just going to read you the quote right now. She said, "This has ruined my experience as a housewife. Every housewife on every franchise would say the only hard part of this job is the trolls on social media who are relentless. And they are relentless about ourselves, our families, and our businesses. If you could eliminate that, or at least create a gap, or at least hold someone accountable, it would change the experience for all of us. And you would get a higher caliber of women who are willing to expose their lives." So first of all, I think that she has gotten a little bit of flack for the higher caliber of women comment. I don't think she was calling herself a high caliber woman. I don't think she was calling the other women on the cast high caliber women. I think she was referring to the women who refused to do this show because it's beneath them, because of the social media aspect, and because people work to expose them and do all these things, and there's sort of a breach of trust and privacy there. That's what she's referring to. She's like, if you could eliminate this aspect of it, imagine who you could get. Think about Beverly Hills, for example. If that wasn't an element of it, if there was more of a protection around these women from that, which you can argue has gotten to kind of fever pitch, you know, social media has evolved over the years. It's not the same way it was even 3 to 5 years ago, 10 years ago even. It gives a lot of people pause, I bet, to join the show and see that every single part of you could be exposed. And, you know, imagine the people that they could get if that wasn't kind of an element of it. I think that's easier said than done. But her point is like, there should be a gap between the people who are talking shit about the women online, which is just, again, it comes with the territory. It's not easy to deal with, but it comes with the territory of being on TV and opening up your life in this way. But there's been a gap. Yeah, people have campaigned to get on the show. People have, I'm sure, you know, wormed their way onto the show just because they're thirsty and want to be a socialite and all these things. But has a troll account ever made it onto the show before this? No. And that space was eliminated with Monica. That space between the housewives and what they see as scary people on social media who will do and say anything to get under their skin, to get engagement on social media, to make a headline. That space was eliminated with this reveal. And that's what's so scary to them. This is their job. And for them not to be protected from somebody who is running an account like that, for there not to be repercussions in that way from like an HR, this is our job, protect us perspective. I see that. And I don't know how you couldn't see that. To me, that's incredibly compelling. To me, that is the main argument that these women have. And to me, that shows that like this was more than just an issue of like Monica being iced out or the women refusing to film with her for petty reasons. They're not refusing to film with her because they're in like a run-of-the-mill fight with her. They're refusing to film with her because she's been talking shit about them online secretly for years and lying about it. And there's a breach of trust there and they just don't trust her. And again, I just think that not seeing that, not understanding that is naive and selective. And, you know, there are arguments to be made about that. But to me, that one point is indisputable. The next part was also really interesting because we saw Lisa and Heather directly question Andy in production over what they knew when. You know, we see Lisa saying, you guys brought her on knowing that she wanted to fucking take us all out and nobody gives a fuck. And then Heather asks Andy if Bravo knew. Andy denies it. Monica says that she told casting during her first meeting that she had run this account. Andy said they wouldn't have hired her if that was the case. We've seen that Monica will say anything to clear herself and what have you. So I guess it's up to you if you believe her and whether or not casting knew. But I don't believe Andy knew. I don't believe production knew. As we'll get to at the end of this, in Heather's interview with Variety, she also opens up about that. And she gives kind of details that to me, again, feel indisputable. But seeing that they were even distrustful of production and Bravo and the network, that is a really dangerous game for them to play on this show. And I'm talking about the network and production. Like, the women were potentially losing trust in production, and that can't happen. That is something that has to be maintained because production banks on these women, trusting them to guide them through this filming process, to open up to them in confessionals, to open up their lives and bring these people in literally into their homes with their kids and their significant others. If they don't trust those people, you don't have a show. So that was a really, really interesting moment to me and to see them break the fourth wall in that way. And again, I just don't see how you could criticize Bravo and the network for taking the steps to make sure that these women who have been the core of the show for the past four seasons still trust them, still trust their judgment, you know, still, you know, even though housewives don't always win their standoffs and ultimatums about who they'll film with and who they won't film with. When the four OGs are coming to the network and production and basically saying like, we won't do this, they have to listen. And if you don't understand that, again, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. So then we get into the DMs that Monica and Meredith got in Bermuda about Angie and the Greek mafia claims. They were from some random account with no photo. I don't believe Monica's not behind those DMs. It's too coincidental. It had not been announced publicly that she was on the show yet. They were in the middle of filming. That doesn't get announced till later. So why would some random account with like 16 followers and no photo happen to send her this exact information that her and Meredith had talked about while they were all together on a cast trip? Not too many coincidences. The timing is too perfect for that not to be somebody with an inside job. And to me, it's like, of course, that's Monica. And it was very valid when Andy told Monica, like, you can't just keep bringing these things out on camera, then say you're not culpable. Like, let's say she wasn't behind the DM. She's still a person who brought up Angie and the Greek Mafia connection and the conversation she had with Meredith on camera. Same with the rumors about Angie's husband being gay. Monica was the one that brought it up on camera. Were the other women using her as a guinea pig to bring that stuff up on camera? You can argue that, but they didn't mention the actual rumors until she brought them up. So then we get into the black eye of it all. There was interstitials kind of setting it up. There was dramatic music in the background. And, you know, Heather's talking about how she covered for Jen because she was scared of her. She wasn't just going to stop at a black eye. She's been doing this for years now. She's too far in, scared to say it, all these things. You know, then we see some footage and you can't hear what they're talking about, but it's basically the morning after. Jen comes into her room to return something. You cannot hear the audio. So we sort of hear Heather on the reunion couch, like dubbing it essentially live. She said that Jen says to her, I did that to you. And then Heather says, don't worry, I got you. You know, is there something off about this explanation? To me, yes, a little bit, because we're still not getting the actual explanation of what actually happened that night before. Did Jen punch her? Did she push her into a cabinet? Obviously, Heather doesn't remember because she was too drunk. They've been drinking a lot, but there was no actual explanation of what she physically did, which is tough. Like, it's, I am done talking about this, but it was built up to be this big reveal of, like, she finally reveals what happened. And we see this footage, which is really great to see. But one, why are we just seeing it now? And two, it's not from the night before. What was that camera showing the night before? Was there not, like, a loud crash in the background? Was there not Heather yelling, like, oh my God, Jen, like, what'd you do to me? Like, I don't know. There's something a little bit off about it. But Heather apologizes to the audience, to the cast, to Andy, to production for lying. And Andy really, credit to Andy here, he really took her to task on this. You know, she said, I was deflecting with humor. And Andy says, it's not funny to accuse the producers or the production of covering up the crime of an assault, which is obviously true. It's not funny. You could see Lisa Barlow was pissed too. She was defending the producers and she was really mad at Heather for what she was implying. I thought it was great that Andy asked, you know, Heather's asking for this grace around the black eye stuff, but shouldn't Monica get that same grace? She said, I can't answer that question, which I wish she had answered it, to be honest, because it's a very valid question. But she says, you know, I was the victim, but I was also supposed to be the person who told on her. And as we've talked about, Heather had all this deference for Jen. She was so under her thumb. She was in her shadow. She was so sort of under her spell that she was never going to be the one that told on her. And I totally understand her sort of predicament and the sort of mental blockage that she had in terms of this. But, you know, she says, I was a different person then, and I was worried about the retaliation. I was a different person when I started the show. The person that would eat that shit then is not going to do it now. It was a pivotal moment for me in Bermuda. Heather basically says, like, when she saw that Monica wasn't going to own it about Reality Von Teese, that she spun it and spun the truth, Heather saw shades of Jen in her. And then that's when she decided once and for all, she was going to reveal the black eye. She wasn't going to put up with this shit anymore. This treatment, she was done taking it. And again, I see the connections. Monica says in her interview with The Cut that she does not see the similarities between her and Jen. I absolutely see them. I've been saying that for months now, that she is sort of Jen light. She's learned from Jen. She literally worked for her. So there are absolutely similarities. Heather had another nice quote here where she said, I never want to revisit this type of toxicity. And if this is going to be part of the job, then maybe it shouldn't be part of the job. Andy denies it. And Heather says, no, it is. You know, it's the worst part of being a housewife is the social media. Now social media has directly infiltrated the show in a completely new, violating way. And I think that they're really nervous about that. Monica, you know, she gets really emotional at this point. She said that she was triggered from Heather's story because of physical abuse from Jen, which is obviously totally valid. You know, who knows exactly what she went through when she was working for Jen. Jen, as we've seen in the footage that Monica herself leaked on Reality Von Teese, she could pop off at any moment. We've also seen that on the show. But yeah, this was to me Monica's most vulnerable moment and something that I wish we had seen more from her on this reunion, which was like trying to see where the other women were coming from. She said that she saw where Heather was coming from. She got teary about it. That was really a moment where they could see eye to eye. There were more opportunities for that, but she just didn't take them. You know, Lisa said, I never want to go through this again. I never want this around me again, ever. Heather addresses Jen head on, saying, I'm no longer your bitch. She regrets turning on everybody, fighting Jen's fight, disrespecting her family and her opportunity here, meaning the platform that the show gives her. She really risks that by going after production and lying on Jen and throwing production under the bus. She really did risk that. And, you know, they gave her a second chance and now she's apologizing for it. She is owning it. She is trying to move past it, become a better person, grow. And I genuinely believe that she has done that work. She is a new person. Even though she didn't detail exactly how it physically happened, I just don't think she remembers. And as Andy said, there is nothing left to be said about the fucking black eye. We're done. Don't talk about it next season, please. Andy also says the theme here is that Jen has made people here do things that are not characteristic of who you really are. Is there any more grace to be given to Monica? And Heather says, you know, the way that Monica came in hurt her even more. Maybe there wasn't something that Monica could have said, but her energy could have been different. It could have welcomed in a different sort of energy back to her. Instead of coming at these women from the first second of the reunion, she didn't want to apologize. And she later says to the cut that, like, she just wasn't in the space to apologize and it would have been inauthentic and it wouldn't have been genuine. But to me, that's missing kind of a memo that's part of this gig, which is conflict resolution and moving forward. And even if it's not exactly how you feel in that right moment, you give the apology because you're going to get there, because you're going to get there to maintain your job, to move forward. And again, this job, a huge part of it is conflict resolution. And Monica just kind of refused to try to resolve any of this conflict, take any ownership, apologize. And she did herself a huge disservice there. You know, as Meredith said, trust has been completely decimated. And the only way to rebuild some of that trust would be for her to take accountability and to own part of it. And at least cop to some of the things that the women very understandably think that she's responsible for. Monica said there's a ton that's been misunderstood, but then she also denied Andy's offer to say anything final, which again was a huge missed opportunity. You know, I've seen people argue online that like Andy didn't do a good job of moderating this, or he was way too partial to the OGs and Heather, but he gave Monica a lot of moments in this reunion to share her story, share her piece, take accountability, apologize. And she very rarely took those opportunities without going really low and just settling for calling them a bitch or going really low or cutting to the bone or all these things. Like she could have, it was just a missed opportunity kind of throughout it. And you could see like she got really resigned towards the end of that black eye discussion when Whitney goes to Heather's couch and they're all kind of crying and hugging. You could see that she was kind of throwing in the towel at that point. She knew that it was the end of the road for her, at least for right now. She has so much fight in her. So to see her resigned was really surprising to me and uncharacteristic of her. She talks a lot of talk on social media. She talks a lot of talk on that reunion couch in her confessionals. But when she was given the mic to really have her moment, she pulled out her burn book, or she refused to comment, or she called somebody a bitch. And I just expected more from her. And, you know, one of my big takeaways from the end of that discussion about Jen and the black eye situation in particular is that this third part of the reunion really felt to me like they were trying to fully exorcise Jen from this show. It's like they want to make sure they never have to say her name again on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Monica brought her up all the time. The black eye thing kept coming up. She's been this kind of shadow that has hung over the show. And to be fair, she was really intrinsic to the show's DNA for the first three seasons. But her case, the charges against her, her arrest, potentially going to court, ultimately going to prison, all of that has taken up so much oxygen in the room. And this season, it wasn't all about that. And it was so refreshing. And I'm so glad that it seems like they're just trying to fully move on. If you take Monica out of the equation, if we take the black eye out of the equation, obviously we've taken Jen Shaw out of the equation because she went to fucking prison. What does the show look like? I think it's a really interesting question mark. I think it's a really cool opportunity for them to reset. Obviously, they're keeping a lot of the same people, but they're freed from Jen Shaw finally. And I'm so excited to see what the show looks like now that they don't have to talk about that woman anymore. You know, after the show, Heather was on Watch What Happens Live, and it was a pretty good episode, I thought. You know, she answered a lot of the questions. Joel Kim Booster was great. I still think that she sort of semi-botches her answers about Jen a lot. You know, when she said, you know, I hope Jen's glad that we took Monica down. Like, that was a weird comment. But to me, it just kind of reflects the fact that, like, her deference to Jen, again, it's just so deeply ingrained in her. And she's done so much work to get that out, to kind of right her way and to get her allegiance to Jen out from like her soul, literally. And she gets it right a lot these days, but not every time. And I think this Walsh happens live. There was a couple moments where she did not get it right about Jen still. I don't know if she ever will, but again, hopefully we don't have to talk about her anymore. Monica did a great interview with Louis Staples of The Cut, something that I've mentioned throughout this episode. So go read that in full. It's really definitely worth reading. And he told me that she was super vulnerable with him. And I agree, a lot of her answers were really vulnerable. And you know, when he asked her why she did not apologize, she says, "The reason why I did not apologize is because I'm not going to give a fake apology." And again, I get that, but moving forward is part of the gig. If she wants to stay on the show, if she wants to have any chance of moving forward with the women, you have to own it. You have to apologize. She wants to have her cake and eat it too, but you have to at some points eat crow first. You have to resolve the conflict. And she just doesn't seem willing to do that. As good as this interview was, I do think she's still unable to see the clear reason why the women don't want her around and have reacted in the way that they did. You know, she keeps comparing her treatment to that of Jen Shah and to Heather lying about the black eye. She says, "Heather lied to their faces, lied to production, lied to investigators, lied to producers, lied to Andy Cohen, lied to fans for over a year. She has existing relationships with these people, but I'm being completely massacred. Heather was literally blaming a very serious allegation, the black eye, on other people. And that to me is way more severe than me releasing some audio of Jen losing it on her employees. There's zero reason why I shouldn't be given any grace. I didn't put my hands on anybody. Lisa Barlow and her hot mic rant, they forgave her for that. If they can forgive Heather for lying to them and putting them around somebody who physically punched her in the face. Look, here's the thing. At the end of the day, I didn't do anything that other people did not do. If they can forgive Heather for lying to them and putting them around someone who physically had punched her in the face." And then she goes on. You know, again, I think equating these things is just different. They're different situations. The women aren't saying that one is worse than the other directly. They're saying that they just feel in this moment violated and they can't trust Monica ever again. The line has been blurred between social media and the show, and that is a very dangerous game. That's a slippery slope, and they don't want to fuck with that. That is why they don't want her on the show anymore. That is why they don't want to film with her. It's not because, you know, what she did was worse than Jen or whatever. It's just, it's a different game. She also says, "Look, here's the thing. At the end of the day, I didn't do anything that other people do not do. People have burner accounts, housewives, Bravo celebrities, whoever. Or they have troll accounts where they're feeding information to blogs and trying to push a narrative out there. I mean, we're all troll accounts at the end of the day. People go online and they stalk their exes or their best friends. Let me find this guy. What's his name? Anyone with fingers and a mouse has been a troll at one point in time or another. So to make it seem like I am just this crazy, insane, one-of-a-kind person is absolutely ridiculous because I have not done anything that other people in this world have not done." Again, that's just not true. That's just not true. Yes, again, I said at the top, everyone feeds information. A lot of them are in contact with fan accounts or, you know, are trying to sway the narrative via social media, release tea about each other, whatever. But that's completely different than what she's done. So for, again, her saying that I didn't do anything that other people do not do, that's just not true. Other things she said the production told her to act like it was her first time being at Meredith's store. That explains the discrepancy according to her. So she claims that that was not her idea. That was production's idea. She said the comparisons to Jen were an easy way out. And she said that they were all scared of Jen, but not scared of her. And she did own that she was living in her karma right now. So it's a great interview. Again, I don't agree with everything she's saying, but I think it's very worthwhile hearing her side of the story after this reunion. Who knows where we'll hear from her next? Who knows if she'll be on The Traitors or another show? But that is the end of Monica Garcia on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for right now. And finally, I'll get to Heather Gay's interview with Kate Arthur from Variety, which is a great piece. Again, go read it. It's worth reading both of these. They're kind of directly dueling perspectives. So read one and then read the other. Doesn't matter what order. Before she gets to her interview with Heather, Kate interviewed Andy and then two execs. And this is where they say that the women need a cooling off period from Monica. It's just too soon. They've articulated it. It's too soon for them to re-enter into this friendship. A trusting friendship, not enough time has passed. We're starting to film very relatively soon, and I think that everyone needs a minute. But then they also say never, you never know. So they're actually starting to film on February 5th, which is super soon. Heather alluded on Watch Happens Live to other women. So they definitely, casting has done their job. There are other women at play. My friend Ryan Bailey said on his podcast that he knows of a couple women who might be back and who might be in the mix. So they are jumping right back into it. And I hope that they don't spend too much time talking about Reality Von T's. Obviously, it would have been so interesting to see the fallout. Monica comes back. They talk about Reality Von T's. They try to push them all to film with her. But ultimately, that wouldn't have worked. So I hope they maybe discuss it a little bit. But then we move on and they can figure out somebody else to be a villain, somebody else is willing to be the villain, we can mix it up, whatever. This is where Heather was asked to explain by Kate why Monica, being behind Reality Von T's, learning this and about somebody on the show with her, was so scary. She tracked everything about our lives, and then to meet us and pretend that she's meeting us for the first time, that she doesn't know my kids' names, she doesn't know their ages, she doesn't know what car I drive, she doesn't know where I live, those were all lies. She'd been amongst us for that entire time and never revealed that she knew everything about us. It was really the constant deception and the relentless obsession. And then she also goes on to say something that I think is incredibly important, which is, again, gets to my point earlier about the women have to trust production. And if they don't, that is not going to work. The show just wouldn't work if that was the case. Heather says, it felt really satisfying to have Andy look us in the eyes and tell us that they did not know and that they never would have hired her had they known. And it was a testament to me that production really did care about us because they listened to what I wanted to do in Bermuda. They let us confront her and they let us effectively have a voice. And if they had brought her, they never would have allowed that. So then she gets really detailed about the Bermuda trip, how she found out everything. And again, it's really, really interesting. Go read it, but I will also recap my kind of biggest takeaways here. She said that they actually didn't know when they started filming with Monica that she had worked for Jen, because when she worked for Jen, she went by the name of Wesley May. That was a totally new name. I had never heard that before. So they actually had to make that connection sort of on their own or discover it on their own with her kind of sharing it with them directly. She also said that she did not fake the credit card thing in Bermuda. I think a lot of people were speculating about that. She said it's very common to not have your purse or wallet while filming, but she did know at that point that Monica owed Beauty Lab money, which is interesting. So it was before she confronted her about the multiple names and things like that. But at that point, she did know about that part. The call that she got in Bermuda was from Tanisha, but it was also a compilation of different phone calls that they sort of put into one, just again, for storytelling's sake. And kind of right after the phone call, she sat down with the showrunner who was on the ground, who asked her what she wanted to do. And she said she wanted to tell the other women before dinner, so production set them up to film on the beach. From Heather's perspective, because she had to explain it, it showed that the showrunner didn't anticipate what she was going to say, and initially she didn't even understand how big of a deal it was for them. So it was that kind of shows you that the producers did not know beforehand, at least the producers that were really involved in the day-to-day production. So Heather also said, which was really interesting to me, that the OGs, the other cast members had not discussed Reality Von T's as a group and the effect that it had had on them, but she figured they would know the name when she revealed it. So they had never discussed this before as a group, but it was so relentless that she just figured that they were all kind of dealing with it. Another kind of interesting quote she said, she says, I mean, that has not happened in 4 years of me being friends with Lisa Barlow. For her to, without hesitation, just say, I have your back, that was a moment that I will always hold dear. So again, it's this moment of bonding between the OGs over Reality Von T's, over this betrayal, over this breach of trust. If you read this interview and you think that Heather's full of shit, then like, I don't know what to tell you. She said she was really nervous that she was thinking about what she was going to say all while getting ready for dinner. She didn't know if she was going to have the confidence to confront Monica and actually say it. And another really interesting detail that I had thought about, you know how she had Meredith's doll from that Mormon lunch she had had? She had Meredith's doll in her bowl. And the doll that each of them had in their bowl was the person that they were supposed to confront at that dinner and kind of bring up an issue they had with them. The reason why she had Meredith's doll and not Monica's was because that last dinner was supposed to be about taking Meredith down for the DMs about Angie and the Greek Mafia. You know, Heather said that she knew Meredith probably hadn't done it, but she wanted to at least get her to openly, flat out deny that she was behind the DMs. So that's why, I guess, you know, because of this last minute change, production could have put Monica's doll in Heather's bowl so that it would be more seamless, but she had Meredith's doll in there, which just shows you that, again, it was not part of the plan. She said, when we all met at the beach, we sat out there and talked for quite a while, and it was an opportunity for everybody to put their Monica doubts in the center of the table. And Meredith revealed to us that she believed that Monica had been in disguise on her security footage in her store prior. And Lisa said she had remembered hearing rumblings of Reality Von T's doing drive-bys and Jen's former assistant doing drive-bys. But we had put those things aside in order to be a friend to Monica. Whitney mentioned things and concerns that she had had, and when we all put our cards on the table, we realized that every single one of us had shelved doubts and shelved the things that didn't add up in order to maintain a friendship with her. So again, it was like they were all sort of harboring these things. They all had these doubts, they all had these suspicions, but they had never come together to talk about it, which is so interesting to me. I would love to see sort of the full uncut footage of that OG summit on the beach. How amazing would that be? Another thing she said that was interesting about the dinner and the big reveal was that she knew she was going to reveal the black eye going into dinner, but her kicking Monica out of dinner was a game time move. So she said, the reality of Von Teese of it all was such a big deal to me, not because of being trolled on the internet, but rather letting someone into my life that was not my friend, that did not have my best intentions, and that was continually lying to my face, and I was falling for it. I was falling for Monica the same way I'd fallen for Jen, and it did not end well. And I knew if I wasn't accountable to why it didn't end well, then she goes on. Basically, it's like, she learned her lesson from Jen. That's another reason why comparing what Monica did to what Jen did and how they're reacting to it doesn't really totally work, because they all learned their lesson from Jen. They've evolved from that. They've taken lessons from how everything went with Jen, and they're applying it to this Monica situation. They've set up that barrier. They've set up that boundary. They can't trust her. Like they now know they can't trust Jen. But back then, they didn't all know that about Jen. And so they're giving them different treatment because they've learned, they've evolved. They don't want to make the same mistake twice. And Heather says, you know, they all feel like they had previously already done this with Jen Shaw and they didn't want to do this again. This ties back to what I said earlier about Lisa says, I've let that into my life before and I don't want to do it again. Gets back to my earlier point of like, it really feels like they're trying to exercise any of this energy from the show, which means they're exercising Jen from the show. That's why Monica isn't coming back. And so it's just sort of like this clean start. It's sort of like another reset. It's sort of like a false start with Monica because it's too reflective of what went down with Jen. Anyway, this is a long episode. It's a solo episode, but I just felt the need that I had to get all this stuff out of my chest. You know, there's been a lot of reaction on social media. A lot of people on Twitter are very angry that Monica's not coming back. They're mad at Heather. They think that there's unfair treatment, all these different things, which some of which are valid, some of which I don't think are valid. I think people are just kind of selectively outraged about certain things because they just want Monica back because she is such good TV. And that isn't something that they'll deny. I mean, Lisa did the sit down with Deadline during Sundance where she admitted, like, Monica is good TV. Heather said the same. She is good TV. They're not denying that. They just don't feel safe filming with her. They feel violated. So yeah, I think some of the fan reaction is really interesting. It's really telling of the fickle nature of a lot of this fan base. And not that I don't ever act that way either, but, and maybe I'm selectively, you know, making this narrative because I agree that Monica shouldn't come back to the show next season. And I think that the OGs are in the right. You know, that's, everyone has their perspective on this stuff. And that's what makes it fun to discuss. So anyway, I hope you appreciated this deep dive, this solo deep dive into The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion part 3, Monica not coming back. Again, go read those interviews with Monica for The Cut and Heather for Variety. I'll link them in the show notes. Yeah, if you liked this, please give me a good rating. If you got into the end of this, kudos. Give me a nice review. Again, it really means the world. I'm trying to build this show, and any support that you can give us would be amazing. And check back for our regularly scheduled episode on Friday. It's going to be a discussion about The Traitors with somebody who is a journalist around competition shows. And so we'll bring our different perspectives on The Traitors, mine from the Bravo world and hers from the Big Brother-ish world, and have a little discussion about it. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.